You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
You guys have done a great job for Bison Nation throughout the years here. Great to be on with you.
Last time you had me on, I told you guys were the best in the business, and I really mean that. Your coverage of Bison basketball is always top-notch, and the players, the coaches, the fans, we all appreciate it.
I mean, I think you and your staff now have done an amazing job with the Bison Report. Again, I think it gives NDSU fans an outlet to go to for good football coverage, elite basketball coverage, and everything recruiting.
You know, I really appreciate you guys, Bison Report, for what you guys do for Bison football.
Here's your host and publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglow.
What is up, Bison fans? It has been too long, but we are back, and we're back pretty much for good. Certainly through, I would guess, North Dakota State men's basketball's run in March. You will be receiving your weekly, actually it's going to be more than weekly. You will be receiving a heavy dose of Bison Report Radio this season, brought to you by the good folks over at Gateway Chevrolet. And boy, am I excited for this next part. Reintroducing Return of the Mac, number 3 in your program, number 1 in your hearts. After a year away, Trevor Gebhardt, the OG, the original gangster. My guy, how have you been, man?
Well, considering I'm coming fresh off of a repeat of a old man softball church league championship, you know, I'm doing pretty well, Ross.
Once an athlete,
glad the fall's here. What's up?
I said, once an athlete, always an athlete, never retire. Hashtag never. Right.
Winner's gotta win, baby.
Joining Trevor and I, and providing us with similar versatility that he provided the North Dakota State football team for 4 years, Mr. Jackson Brown, the scare from Eau Claire, the special teams assassin, the Rocket, also number 3 in the program, number 1 in your hearts. I actually just figured that out pre-show, that the guy in the movie, we're going to have to get Trey Dempsey involved because he was who kind of passed the torch there. Trey, actually a former BRTV guest, so he's been on the show before. But Jackson, so excited, man. And why don't you just tell the folks a little bit about yourself, about your time at NDSU, what you've been doing since, and just reintroduce yourself. The folks know Trev.
Absolutely. No, excited to be here, Ross. It's been a while. I'm excited to get re-acclimated to everything up in Fargo. Graduated in December of 2019, so I was a part of the team from 2015 to 2019. 5 years there, had four rings. Shortly after that, moved to the Twin Cities, got myself a corporate job there. Wasn't really feeling it. Decided to go back towards some things I had some passion with, and ended up at Northwestern University down in Chicago, studying video journalism and specifically in sports media. I am just now wrapping up my thesis project down there. It is literally due next week.
No stress. So,
yeah, no stress, right? But finishing that up, and I'm excited to rejoin kind of the media side of things and really get more involved. So just glad to be here.
Very excited. Jackson Brown and I entered into tense negotiations at the Zorbas on Pelican Lake on the 3rd of July. That's where this deal was hammered out. A little behind the scenes action there, but we are very excited to bring on Jackson Brown. Honestly, coming to us from one of our country's legitimately like finest journalism schools, period. So very, very, very cool and very excited to have Mr. Jackson Brown. Man, I haven't gotten to play with this deal in a while. Let's hit the news. Breaking, actually nothing, none of this is breaking. This is all stuff that you've known because we haven't had a show in like 4 months. Wiz, my guy, my son, my one true love, Cole Wisniewski, probably not going to play non-conference. Dealing with a lower body issue that held him out of spring ball. Most of what we heard in spring ball was that he could be expected to rejoin the team in camp. That hasn't happened. And they're not really saying any more than that. And that's pretty much been North Dakota State's MO from Craig Bohl to Chris Kleiman to Matt Entz. They just don't talk about it. So we are left to wonder, but certainly nothing where like he's going to miss the season or anything like that. Those aren't where the concerns are, but it does seem like he might at least miss A&T and Drake. And obviously the hope then would be for Arizona, but that very much up in the air. Julian Ledarczyk, there's actually a couple. Enoch Subamana moved positions as well, dropped down into that Jasir Cox, Jabril Cox, Sam linebacker spot. But Julian Ledarczyk, I would guess, A, they just figured out he was one of their best 11, and B, looked at that damn safety depth chart, just wondering why will Michael and Dawson not ever leave this place? When am I going to get to play? And so Ledarczyk moved to linebacker. Wodarczyk. We looked this up before the show. I'm going to do it the right way. And he might start at Sam linebacker working in there with a couple guys. I think you might see some big nickel with Tut in that spot as well. And the wonderful duo of Dawson Weber and Dom Jones patrolling deep. Something we're going to get into. That back seven could be something. Jeff Culhane and Keith Brake, we want to salute both those guys. Jeff did a wonderful job for Bison football and Bison men's basketball for years. Keith actually helped us launch Bison Report when I took over, had a weekly column multiple time appearances on this show, had me on every Friday at 5, basically as a piece of what we did at Bison Report to break down the upcoming game, certainly improved our brand and brought traffic to us. So, you know, if we could, standing ovations to both those men, to Jeff Culhane and Keith Brake for what they did. Obviously, Keith, a big part of both pregame and postgame for Bison football coverage. Two guys that just, they gave a lot to Bison Nation, and we're going to miss them. In that light, though, welcome Rob Hipp, the new voice of the Bison, formerly Sam Houston State's football and men's basketball play-by-play guy, going to move into a similar role as Jeff. They probably won't put quite as much on his plate at the radio station, but he is going to handle 11-1 with Andy Rickoff on Bison 1660. Very similarly to Jeff, he is going to be the football play-by-play guy. He is going to be the men's basketball play-by-play guy. Somebody that we will want to try and get on Bison Report sooner rather than later. And that's something that I don't think is going to be a problem. I think we're going to be able to get Rob on the show and introduce him to you fine people. And boy, do we have some news that I wish we could share, but we cannot. That right there is a tease, gentlemen. That's a tease. By the time you listen to the show after this show, you will know what I was just talking about. I can promise you that. You will know what I was just talking about. And the Valley, the final little bit of news here is that the Valley released their 23 and 24 schedules, which, as many people know, includes Murray State. The Fighting Ja Morants have been added to the MVFC. Ja allegedly out of eligibility. Maybe not for football. you know, with NIL and stuff like that, he might be eligible. So you never know. But they were added to the 23 and 24 schedule. Speaking of schedule, and I'll bring you fine gentlemen back in here. Because we got kind of an interesting perspective. Jax, one go round with the FBS for you? One?
Yeah, just one, 2016.
So incredibly different perspectives. Like Trevor's career was built on these FBS opportunities and Jackson, you know, you had the one. So I'll start with you, Trev, since you have more of the base of knowledge, like what's the importance of this? And I think you dealt with some of the similar stuff. Like I'm sure everybody told you how much Kansas sucked and how much Minnesota sucked. And like this Arizona team is not Kansas State. They're not going to be ranked. They're sure as shit not 2016 Iowa. So even with that, like, forget that. What is this opportunity like for these young men?
Well, you don't get a lot of them. So when it's there in front of you, you just have to relish it and take advantage of it. And sorry to Jackson, they only got experience it once. Sort of sorry, but not sorry at the same time. I had a heck of a time in that game, so you know. But yeah, it's really the next opportunity. I know it sounds cliche and that's really locker room talk, but it's the truest thing. You have an opponent who, in theory, on paper, should be better than you, albeit I don't think Arizona will be favored. I would be extremely, extremely shocked if NDSU is not double-digit favorites. So, you know, the importance of this one is really just to kind of state claim of what NDSU has kind of become known for. You have a team that has more scholarships than you, and we don't care who it is. We're going to come out, play the same type of Bison football, and let the chips fall where they may. And this one, I think, to put the heat on, and I'm sure I'll get a message from T-Roll and Matt Entz. This one seems to be one of those money in the bag type games. bigger stadium, cool atmosphere. Get to go out west for once, and you know, we'll see what happens.
Oh, the invitation's still open. You know, we threw that one out on Twitter, and I just got absolute crickets from the South Carolina crew. I just want you to know.
We'll be in New York that weekend. Panthers are at the Giants. Carla's birthday that weekend, so gotta follow the real media member of the family, you know.
Goodness.
Yep.
All right. Trevor, and I tell you, one of the most underrated performances that no one talks about is just how hard Trevor went at Colorado State. Everyone knows he played in some of those other games, but he made some catches in Fort Collins that were memorable to me, at least.
I tell you what, the most tired I've ever been in a game was that drive right before half. I don't even want to talk about it. It was Brock and I still talk about it. I sat down on the bench and everyone was in the tunnel in the locker room and I still couldn't get up. True story.
Thin air.
Yeah, got me. Bad.
Jack, I guess reflect on your experience a little bit and just because you know what, honestly, dude, your experience is probably going to be more close to what these guys are like. You know, some of them might be on the roster when they go to, I think the next one is Colorado in 24. I think I would have to look, but like, some of them might not be, you know, especially this day and age of the transfer portal. You never know. These guys, this is a precious opportunity compared to, you know, when the Bison weren't so darn scary and Gene Taylor had one of these bad boys on the schedule every year.
Absolutely. I remember, you know, getting recruited my senior year of high school. And when I had decided to make the decision and, you know, committed going into my senior year, the game against Iowa 2 years later was already circled on the calendar. You know, you didn't have that guaranteed other FBS game the rest of your career. You know, they tried to tell you they were going to get one and another one, you know, in your next few years, but you know, that ended up being my only opportunity and a lot of guys' only opportunities. So I love that it's the third game of the year. I think it gets the guys, you know, a little acclimated and whatnot and ready for what's coming. And, you know, the lights won't be too bright for them. And that was, you know, fortunate for us as well. We had two big tests before that Iowa game in 2016 when we played Charleston Southern and Eastern Washington back to back. So, you know, hopefully the first two games for these guys this year won't be that tough. But, you know, I think it's great. And I think these guys are going to cherish it for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. Never forget. I mean, first of all, rest in peace, the Oregon game. But that one cuts deep for a number of reasons. But I'll never forget, man, walking out. And I was full on Bison Report at that time. And my parents still tailgating the West lot and just walking out there. And the guys, two tailgates down, crack open a beer and offer me one. I'm like, I got to get out of here. But they looked at me and they're like, boy, I was going to kick our ass. And I remember, like, because Southern, Charleston Southern and Eastern Washington were such knockdown drag out battles defensively, we were atrocious and expectations were very much managed going into that Iowa game. And what an unbelievable experience that was. Another thing I noticed, and I was just talking about, and look, maybe this is just from a tailgate perspective, but it's an important part of the culture. I'm impressed with the home slate. Like for me, I think the home opener, no matter what, is going to get people in the door. Plus, there's beer now. We should have led the news with that. Beer and seltzer at the Fargo Dome, folks. Wow. That's on us for not, you know what, we'll give that one we're going to give that one of these. To Matt Larson, to Matt Antz, to any Matts that push this across the line, that's a big deal. But what I'm saying is, your first game, people are going to show up. They want to see the new faces. People are going to show up. So you got the home slate. NC A&T is a decent HBCU and a fun opponent. You know, I think NDSU probably going to be about 4 touchdown favorites there. But I mean, it's fun ish, and then you have homecoming. People will always show up for that. And you have SDSU and you have UND. I think you've got at least 4 rock solid tailgates. And I know, like in the glory days, they all used to be rock solid, but we got to live in the now. I think you've got 4 rock solid home games and 4 rock solid tailgates on this schedule. And I think it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, you had a full slate of tailgating. Sign me up for that. I remember when NIL first came out, I got asked by a couple of people, it's like, do you think you would have gotten anything? And I'm like, well, my name wasn't John Crockett or Brock Jensen, so it might have been limited, but I feel like I would have gotten free beer. So sign me up for beer 30 inside the Fargo Dome and all that.
So Jackson Brown, which one do you have scheduled, or which one, what's circled on your calendar? You take a look at this one. Which one's circled on your calendar?
Are we just talking non-conference here?
It's the whole thing. The whole because we just ran down the whole thing. Which one jumps out at you?
I mean, this is just, I mean, it's too easy to circle, but it's the South Dakota State game, and it's the time of the year. Is it different this year? Is it a little earlier? October 15th.
Yeah, the rotational schedule has really put them in a point where they can't guarantee stuff anymore. Like,
sure,
you don't close the season with South Dakota State every time anymore. Right. And plus, I mean, you close the season with UND. I think at this point, the Valley might also be like, okay, pick your rivals, ding dongs. Who, you know, if you want to close the schedule with somebody, who is it? Okay, SDSU, we're going to put you with USD and you're not going to complain. NDSU, we're going to put you with UND and you're not going to complain, even if you actually want to play each other.
Right. Well, it's like they always say, right? We're the Super Bowl for every one of these teams. So they're claiming their own rivalries too. And, you know, if it's got to be back-to-back-to-back weeks, whatever. But I think it's definitely the SDSU game. Anytime you can play them regular season at home, it's just obviously something that's going to be circled and something that's just going to get the energy even more revved up in the Fargo Dome. You know, you never know when there's going to be those mid-season lulls in there. So having them October 15th, just right smack dab there, I think is going to be great for the whole season.
Wow, and forget what I said. They actually have USD the week before. They closed the season with Illinois State at home in a otherwise relatively meaningless contest. But I just think the way that the schedule has shifted, they're not able to kind of book it the way they want to anymore. Sure. Yeah, like I said, I think this is the strongest schedule in a really long time. Obviously, the Arizona game kind of puts a mark on that. But look, man, South Dakota State and UND at home is a big deal. I wish if I was probably Matt Larson, if I was probably selling season tickets, like, I don't know that I want to make that phone call next year. I think that's a tougher phone call. I think it would be cool if UND and SDSU were staggered and you always had one of them at home. But in a year like this, it's pretty cool. Okay, as we mentioned, this show is now brought to you by the fine folks over at Gateway Chevrolet, your locally owned and operated Chevy dealership. Guys, this was actually my first job out of college, was selling cars, selling mostly Chevy pickups to the fine farmers of the Red River Valley, and they've still got phenomenal deals on trucks over there today. I have noticed this certainly as I drive by and actually was over there at Gateway putting the finishing touches on this deal. I'm a deal maker, Jackson. I just am. A lot of car dealerships that you drive by these days are empty. It's tough to get inventory, supply chain issues, et cetera, like used cars, value being so high. Their lot's full. They have a great selection. Like, go over there and check it out. It's impressive. And like I said, very different from even some other dealerships in Fargo. I'm not going to name names, obviously, but you drive through the cities, you drive through wherever. There's a lot of very empty-ish looking car lots because inventories are low. Not over at Gateway Chevrolet. In fact, go see my guy, my first real boss, if you will, Mr. John Cole, who is now the general sales manager over there. Because, boy, let me tell you, when I got out of college, it was a long, long time ago. But John's still there. Brad's still there. A lot of really, really good people still over at Gateway Chevrolet. And we very much appreciate them sponsoring the show through this football season. Okay.
Across midfield, a foot race, 30, 20, 10, trot in there, baby!
Oh, man, that break, that hits a little different without Jeffrey being around anymore. I might have to have Rob. We might either keep that one or have Rob do something new. Maybe we keep that one. We should get a My Oh My sounder. That'd be...
Oh, now we're talking.
Yes.
I think we need to. That's yeah.
We should get a My Oh My sounder. I'm sure I can find something.
Probably worth it.
All right, Trev, your side of the ball first.
Let's do it.
Offense. Maybe I'm going insane. I feel like there's a lot of and look, I mean, people, you're a homer this, you're a homer that, but I don't know if people understand just how good Cam Miller was from the second he took over that job against Illinois State to the end of the season. If you just do per game, let's not even talk about per pass because that's a little bit different. NDSU is a lower volume. I understand that maybe if he had to be Jason Shelley or if he had to be this other guy, like Easton's efficiency numbers were way better than Devlin Hodges's the year he won the Walter Payton that I think should have rightfully gone to Easton. Cam Miller wasn't just he was the best quarterback in the Valley from the second that he took that job and then ran with it. And by the way, three of those games were without number one, who went number 33 to the 14-time world champion Green Bay Packers.
That is an excellent plug. What nicely timed.
Thank you. I mean, seriously, awesome. Not only did he get it done, he got it done without C-Dub. You know, yeah. I mean, that's a considerable thing. So where are your expectations at for Cam? Because I think I don't even know if he got honorable. I know he didn't get first or second team because they all worship at the altar of Mark Gronowski and Jason Shelley. So where are your expectations for number seven? Because I think he's going to be completely in command of the ship now.
Yep. FBS equivalent. And I'm exaggerating here, but hitting the trio of undefeated Heisman national title. Very few guys have done it. Obviously that would be the Walter Payton Award. I don't know if that's necessarily in the cards, but the expectations regardless for him are very, very high because you play that well, you play that consistent, and the kid, quite frankly, is a gamer. Anytime there was a play needed to be had to change the game, he knew it, and he would rise to that occasion. So I think simply put with what you have coming back surrounding you, anything short of going for a dub every single game is probably – a short-sighted goal, in my opinion. So no reason to not expect this kid to rise to that occasion because he's done it every time he's gotten the ball in his hands.
Absolutely. Jackson, you got against some of these guys in practice because they're all old as dirt. talk to me about this offensive line. Cody Mauch, Nash Jensen, Jalen Sundell. Cody being the darling of the NFL draft world of the year. Which I totally get. I mean, that kid has had basically, I think he was a wide receiver at Hankinson that they planned on putting weight on to move him to tight end. And then he just never put, but he has like really good tight end feet and plays tackle. Think they're going to probably throw Mason Miller in there at right tackle, another very highly recruited kid. And then, you know, you have to have a Kubis in there. I think they're finally have run out of Kubises, but he's going to step in there at right guard. What's the expectation of an offensive line that's like veteran to this degree?
Man, well, I'm just trying to picture the practices in my head, you know, and all the different skirmishes and stuff that they're going to be starting out at these fall camp practices right now. You know, these big, big sweaty guys, they get so upset and they get so passionate in a group this veteran and this cohesive. You know, you'd think that they're just going to be big and nasty out there. So I wouldn't want to see them tomorrow morning out at a fall camp practice, but you know, I just think it's going to be that cohesion, and obviously, guys like Cody Mauch and Nash Jensen just taking the torch and leading this group. But you know, you were talking about Cody playing like a potential wide receiver back in high school. Now, I didn't know that. I do know, though. However, he came in his first year, and I remember him playing tight end in the first fall camp, and he was just a tall drink of water, and was wearing like number 45 or something out there the first fall camp. And we're like, who in Lord's name is this kid? And, you know, whatever, he's got the front teeth missing. He's got the O-line face mask, and we didn't know where he was going to end up for sure. But, you know, he transitioned so well, and it's fun to watch and fun to see him out in the spotlight a little bit too.
Yeah, absolutely. This is terrible radio, but I would assume he was probably freshman class of, would he have been a true freshman in 2017?
That sounds right. Yep. Because yeah, he would have came in with Dawson. Yep. 2017 was the red shirt here.
So I want to see what we, oh my goodness gracious. First of all, this picture is electric, and I wish we were on StreamYard right now. But 6'4", 234, tight end, 6'4", 234, tight end. I'm going to send this in the group chat. Sorry.
Unreal.
And it was great, though, because he came in and was doing very well at tight end. That was the other thing too. You could just tell he was a natural, raw talent. You had no idea where he was going to play on the field, but he was just very talented.
Now 6'6", 303. Shout out Jim Cramer, who also must have like hung him upside down to go to sleep to stretch those last 2 inches. But this is a potential top 100 pick. I'm not blowing smoke for this guy. Like, he is that level of an athlete, and I'm super excited for him. Speaking of a draft pick, though, Trev, I don't know, Cordell, so did you play with Cordell? No, I'm kidding. You probably did play with Tanner, but briefly.
Yeah, Tanner, golly, maybe 1 or 2 years.
Okay.
One or two years. I did see him in Frisco, so that was cool.
But Deli was, you know, chief Ram, obviously just heart and soul of the program. Like, all of their, you know, he broke down the huddle. He set the tone. Like, what will these guys be missing just from a leadership perspective? When a homegrown guy, a big guy, a physically imposing, I mean, not that he beat up his teammates, but like, you just didn't talk back to Cordell. Like, if you're a freshman, Cordell spoke and you just shut up and listen. How much are you missing from a leader like that?
Yeah. Well, for a comparison, back in my day, that was Grotzik. He was a Minnesota kid, but nine man, I believe, but
yep.
I think there's just a sense of respect and a tone setter from what the culture is about. And you sort of look to that individual when you have a day, you just don't want to be there, and you just watch their body language, watch how they're simply in the team meeting room. And I think it just goes so far, just from a standpoint of somebody you can look to when you don't necessarily want to do something on a hard day because you haven't done it yet. So yeah, I'm just having that presence is obviously, will be missed, but there'll be another guy that does it because that's just how that program rolls, and nobody in that locker room will expect anything less than that. So.
Absolutely. I'm going to bring back a little bit from Zach and I's time together on this show. I miss him a little bit.
Don't admit that, Tim. Don't tell him that. He's probably, once he hears that, he's going to call you.
Because look at these. They're empty. You know, this that always used to be the funny part about Bison Report Radio is like all the friends that I made that I have roped into doing this chose not to live in Fargo. So I have this beautiful studio that you guys can see with nobody sitting in these chairs because we're in Chicago and South Carolina, which is fine. It's fine. You guys do a great job. Zencastr makes it real easy. Shout out Zencastr. But we're going to do a little bit from our time with old Zach. Hunter Luepke.
Dog, he scored 5 touchdowns against Southside.
Kobe Johnson.
Dog, he scored 5 touchdowns against Southside.
Jalen Bussey.
Dog, he scored 5 touchdowns against Southside.
Tamarick Williams.
Dog, he scored 5 touchdowns against Southside.
TK Marshall.
Dog, he scored 5 touchdowns against Southside.
Dom Ganella.
Dog, he scored 5 touchdowns against Southside.
And by the way, Brica Pinu, allegedly.
Dog, he scored 5 touchdowns against Southside.
Is this the deepest or best running back group ever? And I know you played with a guy, John Crockett, who is number 2 on my all-time back list, only to Lamar Gordon.
Right.
Like, John was that dude.
Yeah, he was.
And I don't know if Ganella or even Hunter or like Kobe are on like John's level individually. But did you guys just listen to how many names I listed off? I mean, I know like guys love to go through the roster and be like, "Oh, we're really like all of these guys have made huge plays with the with the exception of Barica, who by the way is basically the top rated recruit of all of those guys that I just listed. I mean, he had bigger offers than all of those guys that I just listed. Now that doesn't necessarily mean he's a better player or a better talent, but you had Lipke to the, I don't know, 5-6 guys I just named. They got running backs for days.
Well, looking at your notes pre-show here, deepest running back group ever. When I saw that in my mind, I just said, yes, cut, check, print the gate, moving on. It's like there's really nothing else to discuss in terms of what that question asks. I believe there's 6 or 7 of the top 10 running or rushers from last season, and one of those was a wide receiver, which was number 1.
Yeah.
I think Quincy was in there somewhere.
Yeah.
So, you know, a quarterback. Basically, you have your top 6 running backs back.
Yeah.
That's, first of all, that's just dumb. I don't care where you're at, who you're playing, what level. That's just dumb. Let alone the individuals that are within that 6 are guys that are all capable of taking it 60 plus. You don't find that. And the fact that there's that many guys still there. I talked to Coach Entz like a few weeks ago when I was up in Fargo for Kyle's wedding. And we didn't even talk about personnel, which I kind of regret now, but yeah, we sat there. I don't know. We just caught up. Like, we didn't even talk about the team, which is really odd. But I do remember thinking in my head during that conversation that if we were, the first group was going to be the running backs. So it's exciting times to see what that backfield is about to do.
That's crazy. I mean, you got a guy like TK Marshall, as good as he is, there might be games where he just doesn't touch the ball. I mean, it's insane.
You know, you
look what he did against Youngstown, like him as a junior, even as a true junior, he's a guy I would have no problem. Like, yep, 20, 25 carries a game. I can build my offense around TK Marshall. Might not even touch the ball. That is how ridiculously deep. I think you're going to see a lot of that inverted delta. I can't remember what it's actually called, but that 3-back system where you'd put Cam or you'd put Cole in the pistol. I think Lipke can be a big part of that. Yep. I think you just have to get 1, 2, 3 of these guys on the field, especially with the questions. And I'm not saying they're bad questions, but there are questions at wide receiver. And that's the next question. I'll pitch this to you, our resident wide receiver. Who's going to step up in that room? Interesting to me because I think you look at the actual roster and you think about the guys that from a outside of Zach Mathis, who we just pray stays healthy for a full season. Yep. But outside of Zach Mathis, you talk about the guys that are actually age-wise and experience-wise going to step into these positions. It's all slot guys. It's little guys. It's 5'8" Raja Nelson. It's 5'9" Braylon Henderson. It's 6' flat, 190-pound nothing Phoenix Sproles, and 5'11" DJ Hart. And I'm not saying this to talk bad about those receivers. Z and slot are very specific positions. Like, that's it's nothing against those guys. They're not bad players, but it's a specific thing. And then you go, okay, who's my ex? Who's my dog?
Right.
And then we're talking about, okay, Bryce Lance, redshirt freshman, Trey Lance's little brother, 6'3", 200 pounds. We're talking about Jake Lippi returning as a junior at 6'2", 203. And then it's the youth movement, the three-star guys, the ones that us at Bison Report get juiced about, and that's 6'2", 184, Carson Hagerly, and 6'4", 210 as a true freshman wideout, Makai Collins, out of Mankato West. You might see some bigger bodies. I'm interested. I'm very interested to see how this goes. How do you see it playing out? Obviously, they can't play all the little guys together. So right. someone's gotta make a play. What do you see happening in that receiver room, Trev?
I see a lot of bodies playing early. Simply put, because you ask who's gonna step up. I don't know. We needed some catches going into my senior year. Losing Smitty. Of course, that's number four, Ryan Smith.
Yep.
And that happened to be a kid from Creighton Prep. Who didn't drop a ball until like practice 10. And it was actually probably couldn't even be considered a drop. He was diving like parallel with the ground, and he just happened to miss it. And it literally got quiet, and I asked him if he was okay. we're going to need something like that. I don't know to that extreme. But you're going to need one or two guys for sure that can be consistent, can go spring a run. That's going to be a dagger, but can also go across the middle and hang on. You need two more guys to do that, because if you don't have that Warren Holloway, Zach Vraw, Christian Watson type presence that's going to get you over the top and go up and get the ball, you got to find different ways to mix it up, and that's where it's going to be, simply by size. Especially if Zach, he's got to stay healthy. If he can, that'll be a benefit. Obviously, Bryce, a little bit bigger guy. He needs to step up a little bit. So they'll find ways. It's just going to be a matter of how and when.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think, people talk about, why don't you just build the whole plane out of the black box? You probably could build most of the plane out of the run game. That's always the case at NDSU. It's really the case this year. You talk about how good you think the tailbacks are going to be, how good you think that offensive line is going to be, how experienced and deep that tight end room is going to be. And you could build most of the plane out of the black box, but there are third and eight is going to happen. It just is. Penalty, sack on second and short when you're trying to take a shot, whatever. Like, you're going to have to convert a third down when it matters, and you're going to have to do it through the air, and they're not going to throw every ball to Noah Gindorf. And that's my next guy. Jax, I'm sure you had time in your life where you had to try and cover Noah Gindorf. Talk to us about that, and just how important is a sixth year guy, especially trying to, now he's a tight end, we understand that, but he's got to try and maybe make up for a lack of that big physical presence in the wide receiver room a little bit.
Absolutely. I mean, it's essential, especially, with what we love to do. And, I know Coach Roll is probably just absolutely ecstatic to get him back and to, be that second coaching presence in the room. But, he's had Babbo, that being Josh Babich, right by his side his entire career so far. So I'm interested to see, what sort of facets he can add to his game and how he's going to continue to improve. But a guy like that, a veteran presence who is just going to be a second coach in there to T-roll, is just going to be absolutely monumental for the younger guys and to develop that room even further.
Trev, what do you think the Cole Payton package looks like? Do you think they just take the Quincy stuff that they put in the playoffs and just give it to 1-5?
Copy paste. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there's going to be some of that. I think you'll probably find clips that with the all 22, that'll be very similar, but I think you need to let this kid sling it. I love this kid, man. I mean, the second he committed, I was on the Peyton train for sure. So I would have to imagine with how big he is, he can chuck the rock. So I don't know. I think you bring him in on a bunch of different packages. You split him out and make teams plan for it just on film. I think Entz is known for that. You make the team spend the 5 to 10 minutes every week to plan for something that they, quite frankly, don't know what's going to happen. So I think you do a multitude of things. You let him get out and run, and I think you let him sling the rock once or twice a game. That's what I would like to see personally, but that'll be TBD.
All right. I'll take this one, and you guys can definitely sprinkle in because I'm not, you know, the be-all, end-all here, but I am the recruiting guy, you know, of the three of us, certainly, running Bison Report and stuff. True freshman that can make an impact on offense. I'm just going to eliminate anybody that's under 230 pounds or over, excuse me. Like they don't need it. B, they don't do it. If your name's not Bill Turner, you're not playing as a true freshman on the offensive line, period. Like it's just not happening. Guys that I can actually see them helping. And by the way, although I don't even think they took a running back. Oh my God, they didn't. There's not a true freshman running back, which, by the way, is fine. I mean, it really is. It's fine. I
think that department's okay.
Yeah, it's fine. But yeah, it's the kids, man. It's who we talked about when we were talking about the wide receivers. It's Carson Hagerly, Mekhi Collins. Those are going to be the guys at wide receiver that are going to have a chance to be that big-bodied guy as a true freshman. As both of them being very highly rated three stars, both top 10 recruits in the history of the school, they're going to have a chance to make an immediate impact. I know with the 4-game rule, we'll probably see a couple of these guys, but I really, the guys that I think have a chance on offense to really make an impact, not going to be a running back. I actually don't think it's going to be anybody from that crew chief's room at all. And I don't think, obviously I've said it's not going to be a Ram. It's just not. So I'm interested in the wide receivers, and the two guys that absolutely stand out are Mekhi and Carson.
Typically it is a pass catcher, yeah. Especially when you have a really deep team coming back. I think Hagerly, wasn't he like a 100-meter champ or something?
He's something else.
Man. He was a track stud too. And I, you know, he's got big, long strides.
Good Hooper too.
Oh yeah, that's right. I think I have seen some of that, but you know, a kid like that, big bodied from West Fargo, you definitely like to see it. I mean, I think it would play well with the community and the fans, being a local kid. And it would help deepen that room in the wide receiver group. So that would be nice to see. So the nice thing is you can play 4 games now and not lose a year.
I tell you what, too. This might be sacrilegious, but I'm just going to say it.
What? Don't do it. What are you about to do?
So his dad, it's not that sacrilegious, but his dad wore, I think, 16 at NDSU. He wore 16 at West Fargo. They gave him 81, and I don't love it. 16 is currently worn by former walk-on QB redshirt freshman Peter Anderson. Maybe we find Peter a different number.
Well,
I'm sorry. Like
the old number choice. I'll tell you what. That's one thing you don't have a lot of say over when you're coming in. We talked a little bit about this earlier, but you just kind of got to take it.
I know. I'm concerned that I'm going to have to watch this kid wear 81 for 4 years until Peter graduates. These are my concerns. If this kid's going to be the face of the program, I don't, you know, no.
If he comes out against Drake Hagerly and pulls a Zach Vrah, Western Illinois, right by the student section, all bets are off. That's his number.
Get him his dad's number and put him on. All right.
So, all right. Yeah, you got to earn it, man. It's not a culture in a program that you just come in and get to start picking. You don't get recruited and promised a number. That's not the way we roll. So
fair enough.
Yeah.
You rolled with Jordy Nelson's 87 until Jose left.
That's right. That was the redshirt Geb number. And then Jose, he's doing a great job with his Left Coast Athletics gig, but
very cool. Yes. Yep.
Yeah. As soon as he left, that was kind of the next move for me, wearing three pretty much my whole life. So
absolutely. All right.
Across midfield, a foot race, 30, 20, 10, trot in there, baby.
Want to give a shout out to our friends over at Big Deck Barbecue Company. Zach, obviously holding down the fort with his dad, Tyson, doing an excellent job keeping up with production. Man, they're everywhere. Hornbacher, Shields, obviously you can still get it shipped to you, you know, via the website there, bigdeckbarbecue.com. But just wanted to thank everybody, take this opportunity to thank everybody. We sold out of Championship Gold, the Bison Report and Big Deck collaboration, the spicy honey mustard, one of the favorite, like my favorite sauces I've ever put on wings ever. And not because I helped design it, because it was freaking awesome. That kick and that honey mustard with that little bit of sweet, Championship Gold was an excellent sauce. And let's just pray for another football championship or another and or a Hoop Summit League title, because I'd like to see Championship Gold hit shelves again. That was a lot of fun. I enjoyed the sauce, enjoyed sharing that with all you guys. That was a lot of fun, but shout out to our guys at Big Deck Barbecue. All right. Defense. You're around these guys a lot. I would guess that you got a little bit lethargic in your journey as a safety, wondering when am I ever going to play over this dude? Sixth year, literally been there so long, he's a dad. My guy, Michael Tutsi. I can't ever remember a deeper secondary. I know, because I think the GOAT secondary that everyone would talk about would be Brian Shepherd as the fifth guy with CJ Marcus, Duds and Heegs. I don't think anyone, by the way, is on Marcus's level. I don't. But man, you talk about a sixth year Dawson, a sixth year Tut, and how ridiculously deep they are at corner with Courtney Marquise, Destin, and Jaden Price. Throw the third safety in there in Dom Jones, and you're seven deep in the back end with guys that would start on any team in the country, any team in the country. I don't think I'm going to go with best secondary ever, just because maybe it was like third and 12, I'd probably take this secondary just because I think these guys are a little bit more fluid in coverage. But from like who performs the duties requested of NDSU defensive backs, I don't know that they're the best secondary of all time, but Jax, they might be the deepest.
I think absolutely. I mean, you just go down the line here. I'm scrolling, it seems endlessly, on just names that have contributed already, and then just guys that are absolutely loaded with potential and just, I would assume, would be trusted in a heartbeat to go out there and you know, take over if anyone were to go down or anything like that. So I'm really excited to see the two grandpas of the group, my good friends, Mike Tutsi and Dawson Weber. The amount of growth that I've seen from Dawson when he came in 2017 to where he is now, it's absolutely just admirable. And I'm so excited for him. And then Tut's just been a dog since he got here. So having those two leading the charge back there, it's going to be unbelievable. But then two, I'm excited to see what they do with Dom Jones. How are they going to sprinkle him in? Is it going to be a nickel package? Are they going to work him into any backer? The dude's just an athletic specimen. Yeah. And, you know, being now, I believe his third full season coming up here, he's going to be ready to go. And I think he's going to be adjusted, and I'm excited to see him go to work.
Linebacker roles, I'm interested in. You know, Wirtz had the back injury last year. I think everybody always viewed him as the heir apparent at the mic, but Kubitz has thrown his hat in the ring there. I think the one spot that's not going to change no matter what is probably James Kayser at will. He's put on a little bit of weight. I know, you know, originally probably thought of as a guy, well, he's, you know, a former safety that's think about him maybe at Sam. I think he's going to stick inside at that other kind of inside backer position, which opens up Jasir's old position. Jasir Cox obviously leaving the program, heading to West Virginia in hopes of furthering his NFL dreams. We wish him absolutely nothing but the best of luck. But Enoch Sibomana kind of fighting over that spot a little bit. Wadarsik fighting on over that spot a little bit. And then Hillsborough, North Dakota stand up. Oscar Benson fighting over that spot a little bit, detached from the formation, playing that nickel corner slash linebacker hybrid role that the Cox brothers held down for about a decade. Who do you see kind of sliding into these linebacker roles, Jax?
I'm really excited to see Julian this year. You know, we've had kind of almost similar paths in the sense that we both started off at safety, have been moved into some transformational roles, had a very, you know, strong presence on special teams. And personally, I think he's got more intangibles and talents than I did. So I want to see him take that next step, and I want to see him really provide for the defense. So I would love to see him get involved at the Sam position. But two, I'm hearing a lot that Oscar Benson is really showing up and having some just flashes and some really good plays out there. And I remember seeing him just grow and become more comfortable on teams last year. That's another place where I think he's going to thrive, and he's just going to continue to gain confidence. So those two are who I'm really excited to see. But that middle linebacker spot, man, that's going to be interesting. I love Luke Wirtz and Nick Kubitz. It's just been super fun to watch him develop as well. So just a whole bunch of competition around the board there. And I'd love to check in with the linebacker room and see how everything's sorting out.
Yeah. Speaking of which, my guy, the love of my life, as I mentioned, Cole Wisniewski, what happens to him? These guys duke this out all fall camp, and arguably the best or the most talented linebacker just shows back up. Where do you play him?
That's the tough part, right? You know, it seems like this happens, you know, maybe not every year, but it's these guys that you're just trying to find roles for. How can we stretch, you know, the best 11 guys as much as possible? Because everyone provides their own skill set. Everybody provides their own experience level. You know, how do you find space to play both Wiz and Julian at the same time, you know? And that's what's going to happen is people are going to have to make sacrifices. You're going to be able to, you know, embrace a role maybe differently on special teams, become a special teams captain. Somebody's going to have to, you know, sacrifice. And at the same time, too, though, I think there's a way that they can all play. And like I said, you know, they're going to find a way to put the best 11 on the field. So, you know, whether someone has to move a position or, you know, they got to make a different package, who knows?
You want to hear some real psycho stuff?
Let's hear it.
Dude, I'd bring Cole off the edge. 6'4", two and a quarter, bends like he does.
I like
screaming
it.
Screaming off that edge. I'm not talking about a full-time position change to defensive end. I'm just talking about like third and a problem. He's a problem.
Let's give Coach Braun a call.
He would not be happy.
That's bold. You know what? I'm for it. I just want to see what happens personally.
Oh, man. But yeah, it's a good problem to have. Obviously it's a wonderful problem to have. Gab, I got one for you. Who leads this team in sacks with B-Tom gone?
South Dakota bias, Spencer Wagey.
Yeah. I mean, if he stays healthy, people forget like how nice he is. And if he can stay healthy, that's a great call. He's fun. He's a pass rusher. Like I love watching the guys like Greg that would really bend. And Derek was kind of a bender too. The guys like B-Tom and Wagey that they're like, no, I'm going to rush your quarterback by actually going directly through your face. They're pretty fun to watch as well. And I'm excited for Spencer Wagey also. Certainly though, excited for Tony Pierce to really hit his stride And I tell you, I've heard some good things about Dylan Hendricks. Sat out last season with an injury, found his way. Another guy, 6'3", 243, found his way out of the linebacker room and into the defensive ends room. I'm very interested to see what he is able to do, kind of screaming off the edge. And I'm very interested to watch those guys. I tell you what, though, it'd be fun if it was Eli Mostert. If we got like an 8.5 sack season from a defensive tackle, that'd be legendary stuff.
I know Goose would love it. That's for sure.
Oh, he would. Absolutely. No question about that. Speaking of both, Mostarts are now defensive tackles. Who else, Jax, are you looking for a little help in that room now that they finally just gave up and gave both the twins to Goose?
We're talking the D tackle room here.
Tackle room, yeah.
Well, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. This isn't my most, this isn't where I'm most proficient on the roster here. But I would just love to see the Mostarts complement each other and continue to just work off of each other. You know, obviously the tandem and the chemistry there is pretty hard to beat, but. I'd love to see both of them just kind of, like you said, somebody have an 8 sack season and somebody have a 6, you know, I just love to see them work off of each other.
And I tell you, the two guys that I am very interested in watching, you could not. So you mentioned Tut's been a dog since he got here. That's what you said. I always pay attention. Two guys that since the second they got there, Chris Kleiman could not keep their names out of his mouth was Jackson Hankey and Michael Tutsy. Well, look at how many snaps those two got. And I mean, he spoke about them without anybody asking about them since they were true freshmen. Jackson Duttenheffer out of Mandan High School is a guy that has been brought up by the coaching staff even last year as a kid. They might have to play as a true freshman at DTAC. They didn't. He had his redshirt preserved. But he was a guy whose name was used without asking. Those guys are always on my radar. If a coach brings up a freshman and nobody asked about that freshman, I got my antennas are up for that. So I'm definitely excited for Jackson. And then Javi Derrett, man, the stuff he was doing to people at nose late in the season. I got this one.
Dog. He scored 5 touchdowns against Southside.
That's a dog. Javi moves people, man, and he's what you like. 280, 6'1", squatty, pain in the – not quite squatty like Michael Buto squatty, but squatty nonetheless. Tough to move out of there. It has a little bit of juice for a one tech. So excited for Javi, excited for the Mostart twins, and certainly excited for Jackson Duttenheffer. And that might be another pronunciation that I'm absolutely murdering, but we'll get it figured out. Week 3, we'll have all that stuff ironed out before we go down to Arizona. Jack's got one for you. Who leads this team in interceptions?
This one was tough for me. You know, I want to say it's a safety, and I don't know why I'm leaning towards that bias necessarily, but I think a free safety is going to play a huge role this year. And I think Doss might come out and lead the squad in interceptions. Now I only say that too. And I tend to stray away from corners in this situation. Obviously, Destin's pretty concrete there, but that corner room is going to be pretty rotational, or whether it's not rotational, there's going to be different guys contributing there. So who knows how many picks the corners are going to have. So I wanted to lean safety. And I just think the free safety, Dawson's just sitting back there as a rover. And I think he finished with, 4 or 5 last year. I think he's just going to grow on that, and his eyes are just going to continue to be more disciplined, and he's going to take some chances and see some things he hasn't seen in his first 5 years, as people do when they become a veteran. So I think he's going to lead it.
Yeah, and I think that Dawson really came into his own last year, and specifically in the playoffs. He kind of dominated that national championship game. He's something else. I think that's a smart move, though, because truly they were really stingy about that cornerback rotation. I mean, especially towards the end when they started to work in Siegel, it was definitely, I think it was Siegel and JP and then Destin and Courtney. I think those were the tandems, but like they would send those guys out in tandems, and it was very, very interesting to me. So I want to set realistic expectations for this defense because I think it could be very, 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 very good. You remove Jackson Hankey. You remove Braden Thomas, but you add Spencer Wagey. That's it. As far as like the real, I guess Jasir actually is very important. I shouldn't say that's it. That's not fair. That's not it. Jasir was a very, very important player to what they did. But taking out Jasir, Jackson, and B-Tom, and adding in a guy like Wagey, who is honestly a longer B-Tom, if he can just stay healthy, this is a team, and I would honestly, I'd probably throw out Holy Cross and Jackson State. They don't actually play what I would call legit FCS football. You had the number one total defense in the country, giving up 4.4 yards per play, only gave up, my goodness, they only gave up 19 touchdowns, 18 offensive touchdowns all season. Let me see where they were in scoring defense. Number one in scoring defense, number one in the country in scoring defense, giving up 11 per. Jax, where could these numbers be at the end of the year? I mean, could we see this team allow single digits per game?
I mean, is that that unrealistic to think about, you know, with what we're talking about? You know, like we said, we lost a few very important and stellar players. But at the same time, you know, I'm looking at some of the positions that we lost out at. And, you know, for example, with Jasir, we've got other guys with similar skill sets as Jasir. Obviously, Jasir is a very special talent and whatnot. But, you know, you throw a guy in like Dom Jones at the nickel spot, similar to what Jasir was doing at the bare nickel spot. We love that. And, you know, you're getting Wagey back and you take out Hankey, obviously just a rock in the middle of the defense. But I would love to see what Luke Wirtz can do when he's going to be healthy. I think he's going to be an absolute dog. He was from day one when I saw him. So I really don't think we're stepping off much at all, if any. And
plus you get a year. I mean, you get a year of development for everyone who's coming back. Everyone takes that step.
It's absurd. Yeah, I think the sky's the limit for this group. Obviously, just want these veterans to stay healthy and these guys, you know, to be able to step up in the positions we need them. But I think the sky's the limit.
All right, I'll take this one again. True freshman that I think could make an impact. I don't know as though I would pick anybody from that defensive tackle room. I think that is pretty unlikely. However, I do think that there is, and also one that you would normally give a true freshman a chance. I actually don't see any DBs. I don't think Jaquise Alexander is a very special player. So I think is Darius Givens, but at the same time, they're adding Britton Pasco, who was a very highly recruited kid, rehabbing a knee injury, having his redshirt freshman year this year. He's probably corner five. You're going to have to start asking, are, you know, Gennaro Okama or Anthony Coleman, like, are they corner six and seven? If you're even going to get to corner six and seven, which oftentimes you don't. So I struggle to see that. I struggle to see any true freshman safety, you know, sniffing time. As far as the linebackers are concerned, I know that Altapeter and Staling are big deals. And maybe if there's a little run of injury at linebacker, they have a chance. I mean, shoot, Altapeter's 216 already and Staling's 227. They're ready. I mean, from that standpoint, they're ready. They'll be bigger than Jackson Hankey was as a fifth-year senior. So they're ready there. But where I really think you actually might have a chance, and this might sound odd because it's – a line position is defensive line. I think there's a real opportunity there for a guy like Kelton McCaslin or a guy like Toby Aneen, who's now 6'3", 250. You've seen true freshman pass rushers get their chance. Greg Menard got his chance. Tony Pierce got his chance. You've seen guys at the defensive end position really have a chance to compete early because you do want to get stronger, but you're not necessarily always a point of attack player. And if they think you can QB hunt, they don't care. They'll let you QB hunt right away. So That is where I see that happening. Any closing thoughts, you guys, as we wrap up this massive preview edition and welcome us back edition of Bison Report Radio? Any closing thoughts, Jax?
Man, I can't stress enough, what opportunity this team has. Wow. I mean, just the amount of guys back and the amount of talent just surrounding every position. I can't wait to see what we have in store for us this year. This is great.
Trev?
Health is wealth for 2022 Bison. That's it. Health is wealth.
Absolutely.
All right, folks. We want to go ahead and thank our sponsors. We want to thank our friends at Gateway Chevrolet. We want to thank our very good friends at Big Deck Barbecue. I certainly want to thank Trev and Jax for coming on here with me. Thank you, fine people, for listening. We're so excited to be back with you. We're so excited the football's almost here. Have a phenomenal week, everybody, and go Bison.